A few weeks ago, we learned that Black people in the U.S. are contracting and dying from COVID-19 at disproportionately high rates. Dr. Anthony Fauci said there are a number of reasons for these outcomes, pre-existing conditions like diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and asthma.
So we're very concerned about that. It's very sad. It's nothing we can do about it right now except to try and give them the best possible care to avoid those complications.
But there are places throughout the country now trying to mitigate these disparities in real time. For more, we're joined by Akilah Johnson, narrative healthcare reporter at ProPublica. Welcome to Here and Now.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Akilah, several states have now formed these task forces to look at the numbers and come up with some action steps to address these racial disparities. You were one of the first to report on the high number of Black people contracting and dying from this disease. And you focused on Milwaukee because they were the first to actually release racial data. What did you learn after looking at that data?
When we first started looking into Milwaukee, all of the deaths that they had were of African Americans. So at the time, I believe there were 10, and all 10 people who had died were Black. And then as the numbers continued to grow, the disparity continued. Not everybody who continued to die in Milwaukee was Black. So as the numbers grew, there was more diversity in death, shall we say, but a disproportionate number of the folks who ultimately lost their lives to this virus remained African Americans in Milwaukee. And it is a trend that is keeping pace, unfortunately, in a lot of major cities and states throughout the country. And
I want to ask you a little bit more about that data because in many instances, though, I mean, Milwaukee had this clear data, but what we've been seeing so far, it seems to be incomplete and kind of patchwork depending on the state and the city. And actually looking at that CDC data, it said that race was unknown in 75% of the patients with COVID-19. But there's also this issue of what constitutes as Black or Latino, meaning Latino is an ethnicity. There are people who actually identify both as Black and white within that group. So how is race actually being tracked?
Right. And so that unknown also has to do with data somehow being lost in the reporting process between what's happening at intake to what's ultimately being reported to the CDC. Either the questions aren't being asked or they're, you know, being recorded on some forms. And I've heard that in some instances, yes, there is a fear in some communities in terms of even giving that type of information. But then you also have brought up a really good point, right? And that is in terms of how do people identify, and with the Latinx community being, you know, an ethnicity and also crossing over and being able to cross over various kind of racial categories and what that means. And I think at the end of the day, it's just, from what I'm understanding, there was not a lot of intentionality. The message hadn't been kind of given out strong enough from the beginning that this is information that must be collected. These are questions that you have to ask, and this is a conversation that you have to engage in.
With that, now that the CDC is being more intentional in collecting that data, why is it important in the scope of now many municipalities and states taking the step of actually trying to mitigate it in real time?
Exactly. So I've had some conversations with some, you know, Representative Ayanna Pressley, Representative Robin Kelly, who have really been pushing and advocating from the beginning, from mid-March, to have this data. And they're saying it's not data mining for the sake of data mining. It's data mining in order to save lives and then begin to direct resources at areas that are hot spots, or to begin to direct resources to areas that could be hot spots. And so that goes to comorbidities, and it comes to what are known as kind of heat maps. You know, there has been a lot of talk in the public health space about kind of understanding where some of these health disparities already exist. Let's now use the data to begin to target resources to these hardest hit communities. And so that's what we see in Milwaukee. That's part of the reason, you know, you could pick up on a Milwaukee, they were being transparent from the beginning, and they are continuing to have conversations that say, okay, how can we bring young people and get young people involved in this conversation?
And is that what some of the other places, like Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer announced this creation of a task force? Louisiana is also putting together a task force. And you mentioned some of the things that Milwaukee is doing. Ultimately, all of this is to be able to zero in and mitigate and stop the spread of this disease.
So yes, and so it also goes to messaging and then testing center resources. And in Boston, for example, if you live in one of the communities that, and they typically are communities of color where you see an overwhelming number of Black residents, Latinx residents, and as well as immigrant residents, if you live in one of those communities, that becomes a testing criteria.
Hmm. So learning as we're going, for sure, in all of these situations.
Yes, all of that is very true. This is very much happening in real time. This is a pandemic guided by data and also guided by history.
That's Akilla Johnson. She's narrative health reporter for ProPublica. Akilla, thank you so much for your time and your work.
Oh, thank you for having me.